Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Like to give a shout out to Tickets for Less. As I mentioned, Phil St. John looking for two tickets to the Giveon concert tonight at the Midland. Who do I call? Marco, who do I call?
Tickets for Less.
Right. That's right. And now he's going to the concert he wanted to go to. That's how Phil works. And so also, if you're looking for tickets to a concert, whether you need sporting event tickets, concert tickets, check out ticketsforless.com. Going to Arrowhead, going to go see your favorite college team. Whatever you're looking for, go to ticketsforless.com, compare and save today. And how about this? You know, hockey's coming to KC. The Blues and the Stars face off at Cable Dahmer Arena on Saturday, October 1st. And my friends at Tickets for Less have the hookup. All you got to do is use code St. John at checkout. STJOHN. Okay? No space, no period. All caps, St. John. And you could save on your order also with college football conference play continuing. No matter what team you root for, you can go to Tickets for Less. Once again, when you check out, what code should you use, Marco? Come on. See if you listen.
St. John.
Hey! STJOHN, all one word, no space, no period. Thank you very much. And so if you're looking at tickets to go see the big game this weekend, or if you want to go see hockey, or you want to go to a concert, go to Tickets for Less. And for the NHL tickets or the college football tickets, use code St. John at checkout to save all season long. Maybe that's how Nate's going to get some tickets to go see his beloved Kansas Jayhawks. Wouldn't that be something? If he had to use code St. John to get those tickets, that'd make him dry heave, but he'd still do it because he wants a good savings at ticketsforless.com.
I would do it.
You want to hear some of this Travis Kelce podcast with his brother?
Hell yeah.
You like his brother?
Why wouldn't I?
Well, I was just making sure. I'll never know about you.
Oh, yeah. But it's like the whole Kelce family.
All of them, don't you?
Yeah. Pop it's, seems like yeah, a cool guy.
Absolutely. And so it's very good. It's a very good podcast. And why not? Hey, go and download Hot Mic with SSJ. And you can also download the Travis Kelce podcast. Do you get the press release sent to you every week? I do. So I'm very nice. That's what alerted me to all this. New Heights. With Jason and Travis Kelce, they're already up to episode 4. And so what I like is every week Jason Kelce will ask Travis Kelce about the previous game, and then Travis will ask Jason about the Eagles game. And so it was, we can't play any of it, can we? Can't play that part. There's no way. So he starts off, and Jason Kelce says something to the effect of, okay, well, the Kelce brothers are no longer undefeated as the Chiefs dropped a close one to the Colts. And Kelce grabs a microphone and he screams the F-bomb, kind of like we would. It was hilarious. And you could tell he was mad, you know. I'll scream fart like he screamed the other four-letter F-bomb, right? He basically just goes, fart! Like that. But it was, you know, the other word I'm talking about, right?
I think I have an idea.
Not farm, but another four-letter F word. So he was very mad, and he yelled it like that, and it made me laugh. And so here is Jason Kelce. Do you have is his question in there, or is it just the answer? You help me set this up.
Just the answer. Okay. Oh yeah, I guess.
What?
I didn't. I just put Kelce there.
Right.
That's a force of habit right there.
Right. See, I don't know. It's Kelce.
No,
it's Kelce,
yeah, that's, yeah. It, no question. Just answers.
And so, but Jason Kelce asked Travis Kelce about the dropped pass, the dropped touchdown pass that would have iced the game, basically. And here's what Travis said.
I mean, it's just an embarrassing performance. On my end, I know I had at least four opportunities to come up big for my team just by catching the ball, let alone the effort plays and things that come along with just being a great teammate. I just got to catch the freaking ball, man. It's a great ball by Pat.
Why do you think you dropped it?
Lack of focus. That's the biggest thing. Trying to think of multiple things at once. So, and there's no excuse at all to why I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball because, well, my meaning to that is that I'm not going to say the sun. I'm not going to say, I don't care if the sun was right in my eye. I have to find a way to catch the ball. There's no excuse when it comes to that. My focus was just, I had moved on from trying to catch the ball to making sure that my feet were down, and I just got to be able to lock in mentally and differentiate the two. You know what I mean? Catch the ball first, then worry about the feet.
Nate Bucchetti, your response, because I listened to this last night, and so I just want your fresh response to what Kelce said.
I love listening to that guy talk, man. And it does go to show you just what incredible high-level athletes these NFL pass catchers are. Who was it from the Bengals? Was it
Chris Collinsworth?
Ocho Cinco.
Yeah,
Ocho Cinco.
He caught a touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone last weekend. That just like the way he got up to catch it and got his toes in bounds.
Jamar Chase?
It wasn't Chase.
Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd. Yeah, it was Tyler Boyd.
Carl Pickens.
those plays, like, they happen so often in the NFL sometimes that you almost forget how hard they are. But just listening to him talk about it there, the idea of, you know, first you got to focus on bringing the ball in, and then you have to immediately switch your focus to making sure you get your feet down and having the body awareness to do it while there's a guy all over you. And, you know, he said he just switched his focus a little too quick. He didn't complete the catch before he worried about getting his feet down. And that just goes to show you how difficult. We sit there and go, oh, Kelce should have caught that, hit him right in the hands. And at the NFL level, that's right. You know, at the NFL level, a guy of Kelce's caliber, you expect him to catch the ball. But that doesn't mean it's an easy play.
All right. Let's anything, Marco? I mean, did you enjoy listening to this? I thought – And okay, and I'll just go back. I'll say my piece. You can say whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Players and coaches, I won't say all of them, but a lot of them are so guarded and don't want to conversate at that level and just be open and honest. Hey, this is what happened. And Kelce is one of those guys. And I love this podcast because they ask each other questions that I think some people might find taboo, or you can assume that in a press conference setting, they're not going to say much about, you know, dropping a pass or the conversation that was had between Bienemy and Mahomes. And he does it on the podcast. And, you know, brothers, they don't care. You know this, Marco. They don't – brothers like to push buttons and like to ask questions that irritate the other one. And so I like listening to them go back and forth. And, you know, Jason Kelce going right in, like, hey, so why do you think you dropped the pass? Or, what happened to you there? And just asking him, but also you kind of feel that brotherly little elbow in the rib there, right?
Well, even when Kelce did the – when he yelled farm, what did Jason say before that? Well, the Kelce brothers were undefeated.
Yeah, and then he goes and something – and when he yelled dropped the F-bomb – what Jason Kelce said, he goes, yep, I expected you to say that. I figured you'd say that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was expecting that. But it's just, it's funny. to watch them, and it's great. It's a great podcast, and it's an hour long. They talk about everything, but we just pulled a couple of clips of Jason Kelce asking Travis Kelce about the game, because then Travis asked Jason about the Eagles game, and so it is, if you love football, it's a really good listen. Okay, here's another clip. I think you like this one, Nate. Here is Jason, after Jason Kelce asked Travis Kelce about the Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy argument or discussion that took place before halftime.
Two guys that are fired up, that love, you know, playing the game, that love coaching. They put all their heart into it, and in a situation like we were having in the first half, where I don't think we were necessarily on fire, we were struggling. You know, you're going to have guys bumping heads on what we think should happen or what we should do in the future. And we were getting the ball at half, so I understand both sides of the story. I understand both sides of the situation. Yeah, I mean, you're going to see that in every single locker room. You're going to see that on every single sideline. If the cameras are on the sideline, guys are just it's a heated battle, man. Guys are putting everything they can into this, so every single decision matters. And I'll just leave it at that. I don't think we were right or wrong, whichever decision we made.
And right when his brother asked him, there was a part right before he answered. He kind of leans back, and he goes, "Oh, I love both those guys." And so it was just, you know, that was his first reaction when he asked him about the argument. Anything there, Nate, you want to comment on?
I agree with him 100%. You know, I mean, I think that...
God, quit kissing his ass, dude.
I love Travis Kelce. Sorry, not sorry.
Good. Oh, boy. Anything else significant, though, you pulled out of there?
No.
All right, whatever. I do this for you. I'm catering to you. I know you didn't listen to this. I'm playing this for you. I can't even get you to comment. Whatever.
I think that's the best answer about the situation that we've gotten from anybody.
Right. That's why I like this.
Mm-hmm.
I like listening to this podcast. All right. Here, Jason Kelce asked Travis Kelce about the Chiefs moving on from this loss to the Colts.
Attack everything, man. Just attack. Attack your fundamentals. Attack your mindset. Attack your focus. Where your focus was, be your biggest critic when you watch that film. And find ways to keep getting better. And that's the biggest challenge. That's why I love Coach Reed. He challenges us right here, man. He's gonna challenge you as a man, as a professional. He's gonna challenge your integrity about your job and what your livelihood is. And how are you gonna respond to that? You know, and I tell you what, I think it's been an unbelievable pleasure to be under him because of his guidance, and I think that we're definitely gonna. I can't even say we're definitely. We've already started the process of figuring out how to overcome last week, and you know, it starts with every single decision that you make. Starts with what time am I getting up tomorrow so I can get into the facility so I can start to get my work done. And you just keep knocking out the right decision time after time, day after day. When you're in practice, your focus is what are the intentions of this play caller? What am I trying to do? How can I help 1-5 back here? How can I help these running backs get downhill? You know, there's just the ultimate focus that you have to have. And that's the professionalism. That's what you're talking about, that the players that sustain in this league, they keep finding ways to get better, even when you have a terrible game or even when you don't show your best.
Yeah, I agree, man.
And those are the best teams. The teams that keep finding ways to get better throughout the season and stay healthy are going to be the teams that are playing at the end.
Nate Ducati.
I agree with everything Travis Kelce had to say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, nothing, but was there anything that you particularly liked or stood out to you about what he just said? Or?
Well, I mean, I was, when he talks about being healthy at the end, you know, that, I mean, we already talk about this division. I mean, you look at the Chargers, it's like every year they end up with significant injuries. And there have been some injuries for the Chiefs already this year, but there's some specific guys, and I'm not even going to say their names because I don't want to put that bad energy into the air, but there's certain guys on this team that if they lose, you know, the team's not going to be – they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender anymore, in my opinion. And so
– Why are you saying these things? Why are you putting that out there? Turn his microphone down, and I want you to – Nate, I just sent you a DM of Kelsey dropping that F-bomb when he thought about the loss of the Colts because it made me laugh out loud. I want to see if it makes you laugh the way it made me laugh because even I put it for Susan, and she said, he cusses the way you do during games. Like, well, no. Thanks. So go to your DMs and play – Nate, because I don't want to hear it in the background because we'll get in trouble. So is he listening to it? Okay. I just sent it to you via DM. And then tell him and pot him back up when he after he hears it. Did you hear it? Right? I watched it on loop about I think 50 times. It's the soundtrack of my life. Oh, Travis Kelce, I love you so much.
Yeah, we coming late.
Right?
Oh yeah.
I think that's
it wasn't a real prolonged F word either. It just was a really loud one, you know.
That's pretty much how I screamed when. Let me see what made me the angriest during the game on Sunday. We missed field goal. I was super pissed at that point. Because I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but by Sunday, I had had enough of missed kicks.
Can't do it.
That had become a very sore spot for me by Sunday, Nate. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
And I was my tolerance for missed kicks was already gone by Sunday afternoon. I don't need that anymore. I don't need that in my life. All right, well, anyway, there you go. Some of Travis Kelce's. It's good stuff. Maybe when you're driving back from Oklahoma, you can listen to it.
I listened to a lot of podcasts on the way down here. So why don't you listen to some
Hot Mic with SSJ?
I might do that, too.
Do you want to listen to the episode where Jake explains why he drinks his own pee every morning?
So he really is doing that
Yes.
now.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Do you doubt that?
Not really, but...
No, he's been researching this. He's been thinking about it. And he's showed me all the documentation and all the, you know, why he does it and, you know. I'm just telling you, if you're interested to know why he does it, he goes into a deep explanation. He didn't convince me. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but he believes in it. He says there's health benefits and... I don't know what to tell you about it. I'm just telling you, you could listen to it and perhaps enjoy it. So, yeah, that's a good idea. Today, Marco is being challenged on several fronts as far as booking guests because Buster couldn't be on his regular segment at 7 because he's got to be on TV about Aaron Judge, so he moved to 6:30. And now Adam Kaplan is on a call that he can't get off of until, 7:40, so we're going to try to move something around. And so Marco, this is a work in progress. He's doing very well. Marissa, the intern, is, I believe, helping him, overseeing things and making sure that he's, I don't know, I assume that she is. Either that or she's studying for a test or something. Is she studying?
School's important right now. She's doing homework.
It is very important. What homework are you doing? That's fine. You could do homework here as an intern. That is acceptable, but I at least would like to know what homework you're doing here at Union Broadcasting because I'd like to think that's the environment we create. If you're not going to be involved in the show, do homework, and that's good.
She's working on the homework for that class she was talking about.
Okay.
With the professor giving her trouble.
There you go. All right? She's been challenged. She's not going to back away from the challenge. She's going to do whatever she can to get a 10 on her homework instead of an 8.5. That's the kind of interns we like, all right?
For any professors out there at UMKC, this student wakes up at 4 a.m. to do her homework.
That's unbelievable. unbelievable commitment and work ethic from Marissa, the intern. So let's hear some more from, let's first hear Andy Reid. They got a new kicker. Now we're hoping that Harrison Butker is going to be back. He was a limited participant in practice. But here, Andy Reid talks about Matthew Wright, the new kicker the Chiefs signed to the practice squad.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I don't know other than his workout out here. I haven't been in a game with him, but he had a good workout yesterday. And, you hope that transfers in. He does have some experience, so Dave took a look at that too. So.
Okay, so the injury report, Mike Dana with his calf injury did not practice. Mecole Hardman with his heel did not practice, and he was not moving around very well in this past game. Chris Jones did not practice, not injury-related. For personal reasons, he was not at practice. And then, damn it, the week that I'm hoping Ronald Jones gets activated and has a chance to play against his former team, he is sick, illness, and he was sent home, so he did not practice. Limited participants, Harrison Butker recovering from his left ankle sprain, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling with an abdomen injury. He was a limited participant. And then full participants, Andrew Wiley with his hip and Juju Smith-Schuster with his shoulder. As far as the Bucs, players of note, Brashad Perryman did not practice with a knee and hamstring injury. Julio Jones, a limited participant with a knee. Chris Godwin, limited participant with a hamstring. Russell Gage, limited participant with a hamstring. Man, their receiving core is banged up. Tom Brady, full participant with the right finger. I'd like to give Tom Brady the middle finger, but that's another story. And so there's an update for the injury report for the Chiefs and the Bucks. And we think it's going to be played in Tampa, but if it's not, it will be played in Minnesota. We know that. So, and they may not make that decision until Friday. And so we mentioned, we just played Andy Reid's comments about the kicker. Let's hear from the new kicker himself, as Todd Lebo was in the locker room interviewing players. And so let's hear from Matthew Wright talking about the tryout that led to him getting signed by the Chiefs.
Yeah, so just fly in, and then you just make sure you get a good night's rest, wake up, and just go do your thing. So that all happened yesterday, and then just today trying to get acclimated, get to know everybody.
So did you come in before for them when they signed Amendola, or is this your first time here?
No, this is my first time here.
First time here. So obviously the tryout went well enough, right? They signed you to the practice squad. What was it like? You feel like, is it like, tell me where the tension is. Like, is it scary to try to make a kick to make a team, or like in a game?
I try to treat every kick the same. I mean, obviously that's easier said than done, but yeah, just go out there, same kick mentality, say the same routine over in my head, and just try to do my best.
All right, let's hear a few clips now from Patrick Mahomes. Let's play number 10 first. I want to hear this. Jesse Newell, who will be in studio with us in the 9 o'clock hour, asked Mahomes if he's had the chance to talk with Eric Bieniemy about the halftime interaction that was caught on camera.
Yeah, I mean, we talk every day, anyways. So I mean, that's something that was something we don't even really worry about, and we just continue on and move forward. I have a lot of trust in Coach Bieniemy. He's done a lot of great things for this organization and for this team, and he'll continue to push us forward to be even better.
Okay, here let's play number 8. This is about the final play that was intercepted. Sirhan Petro asked Mahomes his thoughts on the final play that ended up being that interception that ended the game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it didn't get executed right because there was an interception. But, I mean, it's tough windows. You got to make a throw there. I try to find the best lead guy and try to get him the ball so he can get down and get a timeout and get a chance for a field goal. And they made a good job of tipping the pass. And they got up there and made an interception. So it was obviously we didn't happen the way we wanted to, but we try to give ourselves a chance to get that field goal.
And I know you had the fake field goal and you had a backup kicker in, and there's a lot going on. Is there, you know, any thought when you're talking about going out there and you've got a limited window that, like, if you get a shot, take it, because – you know, we're having some problems here on special teams today?
Not in that first instance. I mean, obviously, we were in range for a Hail Mary if it was an incompletion. So we were trying to get as many yards as we can and get down to get a time. We had timeouts to get a chance for a field goal, because I mean we don't have trust with whoever's there at the kicking position. So if he would have got a chance to kick it, we were going to give him a chance to kick it. And so for us, we have to just continue to go out there and execute and try not to put ourselves in that position where it's such a do or die kind of scenario.
Also, speaking about that final play, Nate, I don't know if you saw the tweets were being sent out yesterday along with the All-22 footage, but Juju Smith-Schuster was not happy after the final play, and it looked like he was talking or gesturing to Mecole Hardman because it looks like he was expecting a pick from Hardman's route and didn't get it. And so there's at least some talk out there that Mecole Hardman didn't do the right thing on that play. Now, he isn't 100%. He's got the heel injury, but that would not be – that would not shock you, would it, if we found out on that last play that Mecole Hardman wasn't on the same page with everyone else?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, right? I haven't seen that, so I'll have to go back and look at it. I don't know if he was or not. I'm not going to
I retweeted have an opinion the on that. Footage okay. If you want to take a look at it.
Yeah, I'll take a look. I don't have an opinion on that because I don't know what the play call was or anything like that, but – I will say this, having a heel injury is not an excuse for not executing your play. If you're on the field, you're healthy enough to do your job. You know, if you're not healthy enough to do your job, you shouldn't be on the field. It's kind of like what Kelsey said earlier. The sun being in your eyes, whatever, there are no excuses. You know, if you're out there playing, you got to be able to run the route you're supposed to run. If not, you're hurting the team by even being out there.
Did you see that clip that Ted Nguyen tweeted out? I retweeted. He's a writer for The Athletic. He said he couldn't stop watching this. It's footage of, I think, the play when McKinnon was around the goal line. Do you remember when he got hit and he basically flipped in the air and landed on the 1 or 2 yard line? And the footage shows that he got hit by a defensive back that got blocked so hard by Juju Smith-Schuster that he blocked him into McKinnon, and that's why he flipped in the air. So I don't even know what to tell you about that. It looks like that's why I keep watching it over and over again. But you want me to DM that? You want me to slide in your DMs?
Yeah.
I'll do that for you.
Yeah. I'm watching the video right now that you're talking about with Hardman and Schuster.
And there's another video out there that goes on, and it shows that he's gesturing, he goes over and he's trying to explain something or get an explanation from Mecole Hardman, so it goes on, it looks even worse. But I just hit your DM, look at that play where Jerry McKinnon, this guy looks like he was shot out of a cannon, and Juju Smith-Schuster just knocked the hell out of him, but he knocked him right into Jerry McKinnon. So sometimes it's just bad luck. You watching it?
Yeah.
I retweeted that if you want to see it. At SSJWHB is...
about 7 yards.
I know, right? Hell of a block, but just the wrong way. At SSJWHB. Back after this on the Border Patrol. Welcome back to the show. We have our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, with us. Adam, there are a lot of questions that I want to ask you about the Chiefs and Colts. Good morning to you, by the way. But one of the main questions I wanted to ask you about was a play that irritated many people, including, I think, probably every Chiefs fan. 4th and 14, the Chiefs had just gotten a stop with 5 minutes left in the game. They're forcing the Colts to punt. They're going to get the ball back and have a very, very good chance of winning the game. But Chris Jones is talking to Matt Ryan and apparently uses some abusive language, and the official throws a flag, and that gives the Colts a first down, and they end up scoring a touchdown with just a few seconds left and winning the game. I'd like to get your reaction to that call. And if you've seen any type of consistency, or if you've seen that called more often, especially in that big situation, what was your reaction to that flag?
Well, that, and obviously before that, the Kelce drop for a touchdown, which, you know, look, that doesn't happen much, and that obviously would have given them a 2-score lead. But the fact of the matter is, when just from talking to league officials over the years, and when, particularly when I was at ESPN, you know, I'd call every couple weeks when I had a question about a call, and the taunting stuff is really coming to focus the last couple of years. They don't want it. Whatever they want to call what happened, they don't. I know they don't want it, and I'm with you. The timing could not be any worse. What I'm not aware of, was there anything that persisted, led up to this thing? Was there a warning? Because
the
way it was explained to me, if there's a warning and they don't heed it, they're going to get nailed, and it's well deserved. But if there's not a warning, I mean, I'm with you. Do you need to really do this?
Right, that's my point, and they've been very. Look, we have the beat reporter Adam Teicher on the show every week, and he was the pool reporter that asked the official about it, and the official wouldn't tell him exactly what was said, and we still don't know exactly what they've described what was said, but we don't know what was said, and so it just seemed bizarre to me, and I was curious what you thought about it because we're obviously biased and think that it was a terrible call.
Well, no, but there should be a warning. No, there really should be a warning because if it just came, see, I'd like to know what led up to this. Why this happened? Like, why did Chris Jones say what he said? Because, you know, I know that Dean Blandino told me many years ago that you can't really legislate intent. You know, Dean was with the NFL for many years, and he's just terrific. And they just have to go by what they see and what they hear. But what I've also been told over the years is, if guys are jawing at each other, they're gonna warn them first, and then if it happens again, you're getting flagged. But you're right. The time it was such an interesting game. So many subplots. I've been warning you guys. Their offense will not be as potent without Tyreek Hill. People don't want to listen to me. There's definitely a difference, no matter what you want to say. It's just not. It's a different way to score, which you're having to find, and they're having to go through this revised receiver core here. Someone's got to kind of break out, which I think is going to be a real issue going forward. Is who could be that leader at that position? But you got to score more points. I mean, Shaq Leonard doesn't play, who's not only the best linebacker, their leader on defense. You got to do better. And yeah, I know Kelce dropped that touchdown pass, but that's not the only issue in that game. They got to score more points.
Nate Bucati.
Well, part of the question there, to Adam, though, is just like, if the NFL is going to put out there that what the penalty was, why not tell us what he said so we have an idea? Like, why not give us the details?
Well, first of all, look. Let's say it's a profanity. Look, is this like something new for NFL players? This is not. That shouldn't be right. It depends what he said. But again, just my understanding over the years is if they warn him, and the player continues to do it, they're going to get flagged. Then I have no problem with it. But I'm with you. The time, like, let the players play.
Yes,
I'm generally on the official side. I'm a fan of the game. I'm not a fan of any particular team. I know the way things are, and I've talked to officials before over the years. That I've talked to a lot of people in the league about stuff. I get what they have to deal with, but you also understand it's a players' league, and you shouldn't impact the game unless you absolutely feel.
All right, did we lose Adam? All right. Okay. All right, we got you. You said that they shouldn't make that kind of call unless they absolutely have to, I think is what you're saying there at the end.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, now we have the Chiefs going up against another team that's coming off a disappointing loss in Tampa Bay, and we think the game's going to be in Tampa on Sunday night. If it's not, it'll be in Minnesota. And so you tell me what to expect from this version of Chiefs-Buccaneers.
It's really fascinating. First of all, if you look at their offense right now, the Bucs, believe it or not, are one of the lowest scoring teams in the NFL. Why? The retirement, which we believe is permanent, of Rob Gronkowski, their star tight end. It's absolutely a factor. Someone in the Bucs told me it would, something to keep an eye on. It's been a factor so far. Chris Godwin, the ACL is not the problem. He has the hamstring injury. He's missed the last two games. He's starting to work this week. They'll see if he'll be available. You know, Mike Evans misses a game due to suspension. He's back, but that cost them last week. There's no doubt. Their passing game has been non-existent. They're running it okay. You know, they've got this revised offensive line. They're down four players from their offensive line from last year, starters and key backups. If you add all this up, it's a problem. Now, they'll get the offense going, but Brady's going to have to figure it out with this revised group. Julio Jones, who had a, believe it or not, I was there for 2 days and talking to the Bucs about him. Julio Jones had a very good training camp. Good week one, gets hurt, knee injury, misses 2 games. He's starting to work back this week. When you don't have your top pass targets and you don't have the NFL's best running team, you're not going to score. That's just the way it is. It's, I know people are like throwing the, I know Bucs fans are throwing their hands up, but what saved them, they have the NFL's best defense. They have been unbelievable. The lights out. They have one injury. Akeem Hicks is out with a plantar fascia injury. But other than that, they're in great shape. Their secondary is playing lights out. The defense is keeping them in games. And this probably will be, you know, it's funny. I was asked in a TV interview last week about some of these games, low scoring. And I know defenses are playing a lot of a cover four now, which keeps everything in front of you. But if you just look at the Chiefs, you know, they're obviously, their scoring's down. The Bucs scoring is down because they just don't have enough players. This probably will not be a high-scoring game.
Nate Bucchetti.
What about that defense of the Bucs, though, and the challenges they're going to present this Chiefs offense, Adam, especially now? I saw Devin White's NFC Player of the Month, and yep. And the way they've been playing as a whole so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. They're secondary, which – rarely played together. There was 1 week they were without five of them, their top four, their starters, and one key backup. They're all healthy now in the back end. No secondary is playing better. Devin White always had been, since his rookie season, one of the best young linebackers in the league. Now he's one of the best. The pass rush, Joe Tryon, Choyinka is playing really well. Shaq Barrett on the other side. The front is playing. They're just playing lights out. And by the way, they're top three in blitz percentage. They're always going to be like that under Todd Bowles. They're just terrific. That's why they're keeping them in games. And see, now Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Matt Nagy, they're going to have to figure out a way to get these receivers going. They have to. They got to get Juju Smith-Schuster kind of singled up. They need to find a way to get the ball downfield. I get it that Tyreek Hill is no longer there, but that's in our rearview mirror. I know he's not going to be – he's not in the rotation now. Sky Moore is going to have to be a factor at some point. I know what happened, the two muff punts last week, but as a receiver, he's completely different from what they have. One of the best grades for this past draft playing through contact, at some point in the first half of the season, they're going to have to get him in the rotation. They need someone who can get downfield, and they just don't have that right now.
Okay, let's get your – you know what, before I ask you about your pick – The Chiefs have had to answer questions all week long about that animated conversation that Mahomes and Bieniemy had before halftime. When you look at that, is that nothing to see here, or do you think there's something more that could lead to something more serious as the season goes on?
No, but understand something: players and coordinators, assistant coaches, and players, they argue like a lot. I think fans might be surprised if this ever got on video. I mean, it would make social media headlines. No, if you continue to see this 4 or 5 games in a row, then you start scratching your head. What's the problem? No, I this is commonplace. No, it's kind of nothing to see here. I don't, unless something comes out where there's a real problem between the two of them. Because again, a quarterback arguing with his offense coordinator, certainly nothing new here.
Okay, so who wins the game on Sunday night?
Low scoring game. This is going to be the first week I'm going to pick the opposite team of the Chiefs. I'm going to pick the Bucs in a very low-scoring game, 19-17.
Damn it, Adam. All right, but you know what?
I hope to be wrong.
Okay, what about Thursday Night Football? This is a very intriguing matchup if both quarterbacks play. And so what do you think of tonight's game in Cincinnati between the Dolphins and the Bengals?
Yeah, Tua's really banged up. This one, I'm not going to make a prediction here, but I'd be slightly surprised if he played. Didn't take a lot of reps in practice. They have Teddy Bridgewater is healthy. The problem that they have is they don't run the ball really well. The fact they're one of the worst running teams in the NFL. Last week he struggled and he also got hurt, but their defense played very well. I mean, Josh Allen had to throw the ball well into the 60s in terms of attempts. That's not what anybody wants. I give the defense credit. Here's the problem. The defense was on the field for 90 plays. You can't have that. They're going to be tired. Now, the hurricane rain, which we're going to get out east, won't be here till the weekend. They're not going to have that tomorrow night. So the weather right now, unless it changes, will be clear. I like the Bengals to win this game. They bounced back. Burrow was really good last week. I'm worried about the Dolphins on the short week. Having to travel and playing in a game like that was unbelievably emotional. It's really hard to win those games. It just is. And you're seeing the residual effects of Tua being a small frame guy at 6'1", not built real strong, and that's the thing you worry about. You like the strong, sturdy quarterbacks, and that's sort of a problem teams had with Tua's body frame.
Before we let you go, let me get picks on two games, please. Bills at Ravens and Broncos at Raiders.
Yeah, I like the Bills to bounce back, but I'm very concerned with the injuries in their secondary. And Lamar Jackson, who I did see in training camp for a day, who was great, he's gotten off another MVP start. I like this to be a tight game. I expect the Bills to bounce back. And what was the other game?
Broncos at Raiders.
Yeah, boy, the Raiders defense, I warned people they would not be a playoff team. I didn't like the secondary. The secondary's not very good. Derek Carr's not playing at a great level. This is a really, as I'm told by players who've, quarterbacks who've played under Josh McDaniels, this is a hard offense to learn. It's not like the West Coast offense that he's played through most of his career. And it's just difficult. Denver's defense is playing great football. Russell Wilson's had one great drive in three games. It happened to be his last one against the Niners. Tough game. I'm going to pick the Broncos because I just think their defense is better. And at some point, Russell Wilson's going to get this offense. And at some point, Nate Hackett's doing a better job of managing this team. And they have to be more explosive in this offense. I don't understand the running back rotation. I just don't understand their offense at all, quite frankly. It's looked terrible. They got to help Wilson out. And the better team is the Broncos. I'm going to pick the better team here in Denver.
Hey, do the Chargers have an actual medical staff, or do they just have the players taking care of themselves?
You know, it's a shame.
Right.
Last year, they were pretty healthy. You know, it's funny. You mentioned the Chargers and their stuff. I've talked to the Chargers over the years about this. They think it's mostly bad luck. They've changed the way they work out. Their practice structure, it's just unbelievable. Remember now, they were well below average at right tackle. Their left tackle is now out for the season. Bosa's out for most of the season now with groin surgery. It's a tough deal, man. It really is. The running game has been non-existent. Keenan Allen's missed time with a hamstring injury. They're hopeful that he'll be able to play this week. It's hard. I mean, it's hard when you don't have your best players. And the other problem is, and I feel bad for the Chargers, the organization, you know, do they draw all? Yeah, because it's, you know, you don't have a lot of home games. You have 8 home games, but in that market, which is tough, a lot of transients, they're just not only the number one team. If you look at all the sports in that area, in the LA market, they're probably at the bottom.
So just to reiterate, back to tonight, Tua might not play if someone, I don't know, if somebody could get Cincy and only give up 3.5 points, does that sound good to you? Maybe.
I mean, I would lean towards Cincy. Even if Tua plays, you know, the Bengals have a talented defense. I know they haven't played great, but they actually are way more talented people know. And Trey Hendrickson is really good. And you know, another thing is, Dolphins don't have a very good offensive line. The left tackle, Armstead, hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. He's going to try to play with his toe injury. Their right tackle's on IR, Jackson. They're not a good offensive line, and Tua's going to get battered tonight if he plays. Short week, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, if you're looking at a team that to like, and I get why you're asking, it certainly would be the team that's hosting the game.
Thank you very much, Adam, for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Thank you.
Go ahead and go to commercial break so I can jump on DraftKings Sportsbook, and we'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with Gary Lezek. Hello, Gary.
Good morning. This needs to be our theme song every single day because sun is shining in the sky every day. It's ridiculous.
Hello, Gary.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes. You want this to be a theme song every day. Did you hear what I said?
Hello, Gary.
Hello, Gary.
Hello, Steven.
Nate just said something's ridiculous.
Where is Nate at?
He's
in Oklahoma City, baby.
He's in his hole.
Are you really? You're in OKC?
I am.
That's amazing. Wow, that's awesome.
Everybody's got the, you know, everybody's in mourning down here.
Oh,
I'm in mourning everywhere. It's only 7:56 a.m., dude.
Lost to K-State? They're in mourning?
Heck yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That was our lives down there, you know? So I moved to Kansas City. Had to get to the 4-0 Kansas Jayhawks, you know?
Let's go Chiefs.
Yeah.
Kansas is the football state, not Oklahoma.
Wow.
I just got a tweet. Let me retweet it. This is really weird.
What is it?
Because I didn't expect it. It's September. Michael Castillo just tweeted, had our first very light frost on the rooftops up here in Maryville, Missouri.
Wow.
Seasons are changing. Have a great day, bloggers. Wow. I mean, there's a hint of light frost on his roof. I mean, this is incredible. So I didn't expect that this morning, but there you go. So I get surprised sometimes about the weather. So anyway, Hurricane Ian is no longer. It's a tropical storm. It's amazing how it went from Category 4 to 3 to 2 to 1 to just a tropical storm. Still producing a lot of rain in northeast Florida, moving into Georgia, and then it's going to fall apart. But so that's good. That's the good news. It's weakening. Bad news, it's left behind tremendous damage and devastation. We're finding out more about that every hour now that the sun is up. And near Fort Myers, Florida, just north of Fort Myers, those communities, there's probably going to be some that were just almost totally destroyed because that hurricane was just so powerful. And it had a storm surge, which is when you have on the south and east side of the hurricane as it comes in, the Gulf of Mexico water with those 140-mile-per-hour winds is forced up and over the barriers, and anything that was 10 feet or 12 feet or even up to 15 feet above sea level, and a lot of those places in Florida are below that, are near sea level or up to 15 feet, went underwater. So the storm surge was probably absolutely devastating. And then in Tampa, they had what's called the reverse storm surge, which is just amazing. Tampa Bay left. Literally, the water was pulled out of Tampa Bay, and you could almost walk, and people were walking, on the bay floor with boats sitting on the bay floor. Now, that water is going to come back. So somebody asked, you know, why are some reports saying the water will surge back and hiking out there now is dangerous? What are you hiking out there? You don't go out onto the bay and hike out there when the water's going to come back. Yeah, yeah, of course that's dangerous. You stay off of the bay anyway. So reverse storm surge, that had to have been incredible. So any news on the Chiefs, Sunday Night Football in Tampa yet?
Nothing official yet, but if they don't play in Tampa, they'll play in Minnesota.
Right. I think that they're finding out with the damage and devastation and the power outages and what it's like in Tampa this morning. And they're going to make that decision based on the result of the hurricane. The effects of the hurricane were much more severe, just 30 miles south of there. And then 50 miles, 60 miles south of there was really bad. So it was very, very close to devastating Tampa. There's some problems there, but they may decide to have the game in Tampa. And I guess we'll find out here in the next, I'll bet you we'll find out in the next couple hours, guys. You might, before the end of your show, we might find out. So. We'll see. We should. I mean, now it's time to find out. Weather in Kansas City. Sunny. Every day. And the next 10 days, the new LRC will be setting up. We used the LRC to predict this hurricane 10 months ago. They had a floor Easter. And this is falling right into that spot, believe it or not. For Kansas City, the new LRC is setting up for the whole world. And we hope to see something different because we have had less than 1 inch of rain this month. 4 inches of rain is average. So it is dry. A drought is building. And I'm hoping something different starts showing up. But for now, we get the benefit of enjoying spectacular weather. Am I doing my thing where I just talk and you guys just listen?
I'm listening because you're offering good information, Gary.
Wow. Thank you, Stephen. And Nate, have a great day in OKC.
seed.
That's right. Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
That is the one and only Gary Lezak. We'll be back after this on WHB.